I get, the less romantic I've become. You can check with my wife on that. But this stuff is very important. It's not as much fun. If you have your Bible, we're in 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll start at verse number 8. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at God's word. In 1 Peter 5, in verse 8, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he hath suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for this wonderful church family, for your blessings to us. We thank you that you are in control. We thank you that nothing has surprised you today, and nothing will surprise you tomorrow. We pray now as we look into your word, and we talk once again about the family, that you will bless our homes, our families, the husbands, the wives, that we'd have love for one another and love for each other. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Last week, we started talking about the home. Psalm 127 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." And obviously, it's the Lord that needs to be the builder. It's the Lord that needs to be in charge. It's so important that he is. And obviously, God uses people, human instrumentality. And so in using people, he uses you and I. And we need to be the hands and the feet and the voice that represent Jesus Christ in our homes. So last week we talked about the worker. This week we're talking about the watcher. Normally in February, I talk about the home and usually about the husband and the wife and romance and more relationship stuff. And that's not what's going on here in these messages. We'll get to the romance. I guess the older I get, the less romantic I've become. You could check with my wife on that, but this stuff is very important. It's not as much fun, but it's very important. Psalm 121 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman," is our word today, "the watchman waketh, but in vain." A home is broken into every 23 seconds in the United States. The FBI says almost 3 per minute. The average loss is $2,800. I was thinking, I don't think I got $2,800 in my house, but I suppose it's possible. But that's burglar statistics. If a burglar breaks in, what do you suppose he's looking to do? Perhaps he wants to see your interior decorating. Maybe he wants to do the dishes for you or make the beds. Now, if I got home today and my house was, well, it is spotless. I shouldn't say this. I'm going to get in trouble before I go very far. But, see, that's what happens when you get away from your notes. Anyway, I digress. I won't finish that thought. But anyway, Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not to clean the house. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." What's the thief do? He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. Now, steal is obviously to take something. To kill is obviously to take your life. Or to destroy is to mar something so horribly that it no longer has value. That's what he specializes in. We recognize that there are dangers outside the home, but for our purpose today, we're looking at the dangers inside the home. Jack Hiles had a great message that he preached on the trouble within from Amos 5:19. I love this verse. "As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or he went into the house and leaned on the hand on a wall and a serpent bit him." So it's a great picture of a guy going out on the street and he's going in this direction and he sees a lion and he says, "Oh boy, that's bad." So he turns around, he heads in the other direction over there. There's a bear. Oh my goodness, I can't go there. I guess I should have stayed home today. So he runs in the house and he slams the door and he leans on the wall. And as he's wiping the sweat off his face, a snake comes out of the wall and bites him and he dies. You'd have to figure on that day, that guy's number is up. But that's what was being referred to. And Dr. Hiles had this great message about that there's the lion, there's the bear, but there's the serpent inside. So obviously there's danger going on in our homes. In Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking of his return, and the likeness, he likens it to a burglar in the house. And he said in Matthew 24, 43, but know this, that if a good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So the lesson there is to be vigilant. Say that with me. Be vigilant. And I've noticed whenever things happen in life, a lot of time it's because we let down our guard. We didn't think there was any danger. Oh, what's the big deal? And there was a big deal. Vigilant in three ways. Number one, vigilant in teaching. Vigilant in teaching. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 8 says, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart. That's key. These words I command you this day shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Those truths from God's word in your heart. John 8, 31 to 32 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want you to know a lot of the bondage that's going on in our country today is from the lies being taught to you from the media and from the talking heads that you listen to. One of the greatest freeing things you could do in your home possibly is turn the TV off. Turn the computer off. Turn some of those sources off that are stealing the joy in your life. Those are some of the sources you want to be watching out for. You know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth ought to free you up. Truth ought to make you happy. Truth ought to give you satisfaction. Truth ought to give you a certain peace in life that you recognize some things. I recognize that right now America seems to be going in the wrong direction, but I have great peace in knowing that God is still in control. Don't lose sight of that. This may sound prideful. Maybe some would say it's elitist, but it is not meant to be that way at all. Truth comes from knowing God's word. Apart from the truth of the Bible, there are many lies being put forth in your home. That's why we need to be vigilant. Mom and Dad, watch out for what the kids are watching, what they're listening to. Even PBS. You got your little kid watching whatever is on now. I can't say that I've seen it for a while, but used to be on some of the shows that always talk about how billions of years ago, they love the term prehistoric. I wanted newsflash, there is no prehistoric. Man's always been here. If it's history, we were here. If it happened before we were here, it wasn't here. There is no prehistoric, right? I always want to be able to shake my head like that. Impresses my wife tremendously, yes. You know, you got to get old to do that. I'm getting old. From the Epic Times, brainwashing school students to raise a generation of atheists is a long-term weapon being viciously used by the Communist Chinese Party, or the CCP, to crack down on spiritual beliefs. The regime has ruinously exploited the field of education, a potential tool that can positively transform any society, to instead propagate hatred for religions by indoctrinating students with communist ideologies and using them to further threaten and coerce their families into giving up spiritual faith. I continue to read from the article. Since coming into power in 1949, The CCP has launched several campaigns to command full control of the people. The authoritarian regime is grooming the youth of China from as early as kindergarten on how to monitor and brainwash relatives with the right ideas and thoughts rooted in atheism, reported Bitter Winter, a magazine on religious liberty and human rights in China. An anonymous Christian mother in China writes, "Before starting school, I told my child about God's creation, and he believed it. But after being taught at school, my child is like a different person." In atheistic China, these pure and innocent children have been taught to hate God. Years ago, Christian missionaries used to go to a foreign field, and they'd go into these Chinese countries, and the government would say, "Sure, you can teach them how to read, and we will provide the material." And that's exactly what they did. When I was in school, which was a while ago, I recognize, it was a common thing that we talked about Russia, the Soviet Union, and the poison that they were. This was in public school. We talked about the Red Scourge. We talked about our military and their military. And it was a very slanted opinion back then that we believed in the United States of America. We believed that we were good, and we believed that they were bad. Now, it's a sin to say America is good and the enemy is bad. Well, I want you to know, if America follows God, America is still good. And I'm not afraid or ashamed to say that I love my country, that we love our flag. And I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but God has always used people, and he has used nations to either bless or to curse. And for many, many, many years, God has used the United States of America to bless the world. And I'm very pleased that we have been part of that, and sorry when that does not take place. Winston Churchill said of socialism is the philosophy of failure, the creed of ignorance, and the gospel of envy. I completely agree with that. The greatest deterrent to communism, socialism, fascism, and all the isms that are going on and you see exhibited today is a clear teaching of God's word. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 3:16, if you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another. That's a verse that we need to be saying more often. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I'll tell you, I don't know where the downside is for America to be quoting verses like that. I don't know how it would hurt someone if our kids in school had a copy of God's word like this and could go in and learn verses like I just quoted. It wouldn't hurt that school one bit. Matter of fact, it would help it a great deal. The only one that's scared of God's word is Satan himself, and he has poisoned those that would listen to him. The teaching of God's word, the teachings of communism, not just in China and Russia, said to say, they're going on in our schools today, and your tax dollars are paying for it. You need to be vigilant. Be vigilant in teaching. One of the ways we learned in our house, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this if you're my age or roughly, is it real common growing up, we always had dinner around the table. We just conversation. We didn't, sometimes there was a Bible there, most of the time there was not. You just had conversations about things. I heard how Dad grew up and how he did things and how Mom grew up and how she did things and how times were tough. And we learned how to, Dad would sit there at the breakfast table and he'd sign checks for the business. And Dad knew, Dad didn't have to see the checkbook balance. He knew how much money was in the checkbook. He had a running total going on in his mind all the time. He knew what we had. He knew what we didn't have. He was the king of the court. He was the king of the house. He was a benevolent monarchy, but he wasn't all that benevolent. You know, he hung on to things. And we'd talk about things, and just a lot of training goes on, Mom and Dad, around your kitchen table. About sharing when there's only one potato left. Who gets it? You know, when there are things going on and you overhear conversations about what went on in school and different things. And if the TV is the meeting place of your home, that's probably not good. Just throwing that out there. Vigilant in teaching. Number two, vigilant in training. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. I'm going to give you three M's, memorials and memorization. That's one M. I know that's two. That's one. Memorials and memorization. Exodus 12:26 says, speaking of the Passover, what mean ye by this service? You know, every year, the Israelites still celebrate the Passover. What does that mean? They talk about the death angel and the blood and the fact that God rescued the Israelites from Egypt and brought them out with a mighty hand. What mean ye by this service? Memorial. Joshua 4:6, speaking of the crossing of the Jordan. What mean ye by these stones? And there's a pile of rocks there from the middle of the Jordan River. And kids are supposed to ask their mom and dad, what's the deal on this pile of rocks? Well, there was a time when God parted the Jordan River and God's people crossed on dry land, and those stones are from the center of that river. We carried them out and we put them here so that you would know that great things happened in the past. God's people were not to forget who they were and how they got there. You and I should not forget who we are in Christ and how we got here. There's a reason why the enemies of freedom want to tear down our monuments. America has a history, and it's not been perfect, but it's our history and it needs to be taught, taken with the bad and with the good. We have not been a perfect country. We've not done everything right, but by golly, we've done a lot of good things. We should stop apologizing for the good things, and we should stop trying to hide the bad things. That for every monument that's out there that they're taking down is a tragedy that is wrong. That for every famous person that at one time we saw fit to put up a monument to, there was a reason why it was seen to do that, and we did it. And now, if it happens to be a Confederate soldier, we want to take that down, which is as wrong as can be. Donald Trump correctly pointed out when they were doing that, when he was trying to pass laws to protect the monuments, he said, what's it going to be next, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln? And they all laughed at him. Oh, what's the matter? Oh, you're crazy. Well, just this past month in California, a school district has renamed 40 of their schools. And it just so happens that Washington and Lincoln were some of those names that they don't want up anymore. Folks, that ought to bother us. We can't forget where we came from. We can't forget people that did things. What mean ye by these stones? What mean ye by these monuments? Well, there were some good guys and there were some bad guys. And we need to teach the truth. It's what the Bible does. David was a great king, but he killed a man to hide the fact that he slept with his wife. God puts it all in there. America set up the freest government that's ever been and ever will be until Christ rules and reigns. We have our warts, but there's a reason why everyone wants to come to America. Vigilant in training. The story of the Star-Spangled Banner. People kneeling now when we want to honor the flag. The Gettysburg Address is the dedication of a cemetery. I'm told that while Lincoln was giving the address, you could still smell some of the dead, that the graves weren't buried that deep. Monuments are being taken down. I want you to, if you will, go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And I'm close to being done here, but I think it's very important that we recognize some of the evil that's going on. And our families need to watch out for these things. We're talking about being vigilant. Deuteronomy 4, in verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Do you realize the importance of teaching and training up a child in the way he should go? That mom and dad, that is our responsibility. It's a poor substitute for the government to do that. It's a poor substitute for a teacher to do that. The best way for you to make sure your children know what they are supposed to know is for you to tell them personally. Talk about the wins and the losses. Talk about the heartaches. Talk about the deaths. All of those things, kids need to realize we're trying to protect our kids so much, and all we want them to do is have happy thoughts, good times, wonderful things. Let's have everybody get a trophy. Let's everybody say, oh, yeah, you were in. Well, you lost 20-0, but boy, wasn't it fun. No, losing's not fun, but it's part of life. Al and I played basketball together. We were in a small Christian school league, so it wasn't hard to be good in the league. We thought we were good. Now, honestly, I don't remember the wins so much. I remember the losses. There's so much more to learn in a loss. I ain't happy to say that. At the time, it was horrible. I always look at my wife when I do that. Yeah. So, but I'll tell you what. There's so much to be learned in a loss. And there are some things that we need to remember. Deuteronomy 4:9, I've written in my Bible in the margin, don't forget. Don't forget. So obviously, we need to be vigilant in training our memorials and our memorization. How about our manners? My Uncle Linwood, Mum's brother, was over one day, and he says, I can see the couth control is broken around here. I didn't know what couth was. He said couth control. He was more educated than I was. What does couth mean? That's how couth we were. We didn't even know what the word was. My wife says I still don't. Manners. How about getting back to Mr. and Mrs.? Aunt and uncle, respect for your elders, respect for authority. I know I'm walking where angels fear to tread here. How about dressing for the occasion? You know, folks, now they don't even know how to dress for a funeral or a wedding. Personal hygiene. Respecting others. Here's a fictitious story, but it works. A man went to church. He forgot to switch off his cell phone, and it rang in church accidentally. The pastor scolded him. How many have had your cell phone go off in church? I'm raising my hand. I've done it. We were over. I'll stop for a second. Mark's teaching Sunday school over on the other side before I had a class of my own, and my ringtone from my wife is Afternoon Delight. So here it is. Mark's over there teaching, and for some reason the volume was cranked on my phone, and it's in my pocket, and I'm having a hard time getting it. And here it is playing Afternoon Delight in Mark's Sunday school class, and I am tearing like crazy to get out of there. Barry thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen. He's, man, Stan, I never see you move so fast, you know? We've all been there, okay? So anyway, and even now I forgot to turn my phone off. Don't you dare call me, all right? He forgot to switch off his cell phone. It rang in church accidentally. The pastor scolded him. The worshipers admonished him, and his wife lectured him for his carelessness all the way home. One could see the embarrassment in his face. He never stepped into that church again. That evening, he went to a bar. He spilled his drink on the table by accident. The waiter apologized and gave him a napkin to help clean up. The janitor mopped up the floor, and the female manager gave him a complimentary drink. She said, don't you worry, man. Who doesn't make some mistakes? He hasn't stopped going back to that bar. Now, that probably didn't happen, but I'll tell you what. The way we treat people is critical, and especially here in church. There ought to be no place where you're more wanted than in God's house. And if for some reason we have made you feel unwanted or uncared for or unloved, I want to publicly say I am sorry. And if you see me after church, I will hug you. And I don't do that. You can tell how serious I am. Now, some of you men, I know I've treated you well. Don't you come up to me and want a hug. Ain't happening. But seriously, God's house ought to be the place where you feel welcome and wanted. I'm told that people go to casinos because they remember your name and treat you with respect. Boy, isn't that how Satan operates, huh? While they're stealing your money at the casino, at least they treat you like somebody. Very important how we treat folks, manners, respect, love, and care. May we be constantly learning to honor and love and treat others in a way that will lead them to Christ. From your house to God's house, may we teach and live what we know to be true about truth and eternal life. Memorials and manners. And lastly, and I'm about out of time, my last M is mechanics. Now, we have garage talk and stuff, and you know that I'm a mechanic by trade, and I just needed the M. The mechanic really stands for work. Now, I know we don't live in an agrarian society anymore, and it used to be you grow up, you had to do the chores, and the chores was cleaning the gutter, feeding the cows, all of those things. We did some of those things, and when I was growing up, we didn't grow up on the farm, but we had uncles that had farms, and I'll tell you what, I'm not a fan of shoveling manure. I've done it some, not as much as some of my cousins have. I've put my face first in the manure pile more than once on a slippery wet board. Why is it that out on the manure pile, nowadays they got these bins and the pumps and all this containment area? That's cheating. That's wrong. Stop it. Get back to the old stuff in the gutter that you get a big shovel and you throw it in the wheelbarrow. Then you take the wheelbarrow out on the manure pile, and we're too cheap to put out a decent board, so we use like a 2x6, okay? And if you get off the 2x6, you're gone. And the thing was always wet with something that comes out of the back of a cow. And so it was never dry. And you'd get out there and going, and you're just kids anyway. Where are the parents and something like that? Where's the child labor laws? Anyway, I'm a little bit scarred from that. But we don't have an agrarian society anymore. Parents will say, well, you know, we just don't have jobs to do for our kids. Well, interesting you would say that because I made a list. Do you have grass that needs to be mowed? For those of you that have money enough to hire a lawn service and you got kids at home, that's not right. Have dust in your house? I don't mind, but some homes have dust. Do they know how to dust? Have they dusted lately? How about sawing? Get him a chainsaw. I'm telling you, we had chainsaws young. We did. We're here. I never went to the hospital. Probably should have a couple of times, but I never did. Sweeping, cleaning, raking. How about writing notes? Volunteering? I do know this. If you own a business, there are no child labor laws for your kids. Their immediate family, the government can't stop you from working them. Okay? This works. Ask my father. Okay? If your kids are getting in trouble, it's because they're not busy enough. Don't miss that. The Christian home is where lifelong education happens. I'll say that again. The Christian home is where lifelong education happens. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Listen, I felt like my parents were Egyptian slave owners. But man, I love it now. I am so thankful. I can't emphasize it enough. But the reason why our home was a happy home, not a perfect home, I've got stories to tell that weren't right that happened in our home, but I don't think about those things. They don't consume me. What consumes me is the fact that our home was a Christ-centered home, that we love Jesus Christ, And if you want that kind of home, it starts with, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you want a home where the watchman is not waiting in vain, then that home has to be centered with Jesus Christ. I hope he is. Heavenly Father, thank you for our morning. I hope this message has made sense. Lord, thank you for Paul and Mary Griffin, my mom and dad. Thank you that they loved us and they weren't trying to win a popularity contest. They were trying to raise their kids in a godly way. And by God's grace, I believe that they did. My sister is serving you. My brother is in heaven with you. And I get to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I pray for every home that is represented here this morning that mom and dad would love each other, that they would affectionately show that in front of their kids, that they would love their children enough not to be their friends but to be their parents and to train them in the way that they know is right. Keep them busy and out of mischief. And Lord, most of all, I pray that they would see a home that the kids would see a home that mom and dad love the Lord. Lord, I pray for every person here this morning, if there's never been a time in their life where they have not said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior," that right now they would say those words, "Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, be my Lord, be my God, be my Savior." And then, Lord, for us as Christians, I hope that we would be vigilant, always watchful, never taking a day off from protecting our family and watching out for our home and leading in a godly way. Lord, however you can use these fumbling words that I have said, please do it. Pray your Holy Spirit would infuse the truth into the hearts of the hearers so that no one would go away not having been blessed by being in your house. Bless this invitation, please. However you want us to move, move us. In Jesus' name, amen.